Welcome to the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters, and here is Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Oh, it's not cold down here, is it? And the crowd of cars is running you over, and the gas bills are going up. Oh, the taxes are being raised on gasoline. Guess by who? Saudi Arabia. Oh, my goodness. You don't even care about who raises your taxes unless it's the federal government. Let them raise your tax, rebuild your highways. Oh, we can't do that. The GOP just doesn't know how to run government. They get elected into office with the idea they can do it better. That's too big for them. It's too much for them. Right now, they're facing a real dilemma. In their first major test of governing this year, Republicans stumbled, faltered, and nearly shut down the Department of Homeland Security, and that vote may still be a problem one. In April, physicians who treat Medicare patients face a drastic cut in pay. In May, the Highway Trust Fund runs dry. In June, the charter for the first Federal Export-Import Bank ceases to exist. Then in October, across-the-board spending cuts return, the government runs out of money, and the Treasury bumps up against the borrowing limit. All will require congressional action, and while many of these measures used to be pushed through in an almost unthinking manner, there is no such thing as simple in the Congress anymore. Simple-minded. They write letters to other countries telling them how we can't, they cannot, and we cannot trust our president to negotiate in a seven-nation deal over peace and a country that is striving to get away from the past. We want to keep them there. That's called Iran. And the 47 senators signed on to this stupid bill, which will end up coming to haunt them and unfortunately may cause a mess for everyone around. We're buying into the nonsense that the enemy is Iran, when in fact the guy that raises your taxes is sitting in Saudi Arabia and your price goes up and down according to his whim. $10 a barrel oil is all it costs in Saudi Arabia, folks. It's all it costs them. $140 or $125 a barrel in Iran and in Russia. They have no control over the price of oil, but Saudi sure does. And who else benefits from that but our oil companies? Who does the kneeling before the king? Saudi oil companies and our politicians, unfortunately. But that's what you got, folks. And where does ISIS come from? Where does Al-Qaeda come from? Where is it originated? Saudi Arabia, one of our best friends, one of our best allies. They raise the price of your gasoline, and you don't know it, and you don't care. I don't know, Floyd. What's this all about? We got to do some drugs, don't we?
Drugs. That's a segue for me. My favorite article in the paper today was Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky and likely presidential candidate, is interested in blocking the federal government from prosecuting medical marijuana users and providers where it has been legalized. Now, 23 states have legalized medical marijuana and Washington, D.C., but the federal government is not recognizing that. I'm surprised and disappointed at Obama for allowing this to happen. They're not recognizing that, and they're prosecuting certain individuals, making it very difficult, making it hard to put the money into banks, which means as a consequence, it's harder to collect the taxes on that money. But what I find is interesting is, could you imagine Rand Paul running with that as a major platform to legalize medical marijuana? The youth vote and the vote from the left that he would pick up as a libertarian Republican candidate, that might make a big difference in his election. It may be a political strategy to come out with that endorsement of legalizing, or at least keeping the federal government off the backs of the states that have legalized medical marijuana.
Well, you got the argument in the right perspective, Floyd, because we ended prohibition back in the 30s. That was, you couldn't drink alcohol legally, but everybody did. You can't use marijuana legally, but everybody does. And so when the federal government acts in the way it is, incarcerating millions of people, literally.
Literally millions of people, and largely black people that go to jail disproportionately in larger numbers than white people. They ruin their careers. They ruin their potential for the future. It's a criminal aspect what the government's doing to the people of America.
How do you ruin your reputation, Floyd? I mean, getting in that prison system, getting in that incarceration system, why would anybody care about that?
and what you're doing as a prisoner, you're learning the life of crime. You're associating with felons, people who are rapists, people who are armed robbers, people who are thieves, embezzlers. That's the lessons you're learning. They're spending more money putting these people in prison than they would if they put them in college, and they're coming out without the right to get certain jobs, without the right to vote. They're coming out with this stigma that it makes it so difficult to reintegrate with society. 2.3 million Americans in prison. Almost one in every three black men will end up in prison, many of them for things like marijuana.
Oh, what the hell, Floyd? We see these college leaders from fraternities cheering on a society to do what? To lynch them. And we just Oklahoma University, the state that has the Oklahoma Thunder, of which the bigger percentage of players on that professional team are black. And here you have fraternity leaders in a major university cheering for the lynching.
Well, I've got to take exception to that. It wasn't leaders. It was two people from one organization.
It was a busload,
and there were people on the bus, but they were condemned right away. The university, they were suspended. They were kicked.
The house was singing right along with them.
Yeah.
The older woman, and they show her singing that song with the N word.
They're not done expelling.
I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I hope not. And again, what happened was just absolutely unacceptable.
Sigma Alpha, I guess it is.
I think it's SAE.
It is SAE, that's right. I was in a similar fraternity, and I saw the stupidity of the fraternities up close. I was asked to join. I didn't try to join. And they did it because I had the grades to help their grade level go up. 941-745, a few were on the
1490, 941-745, 1490. We'll get the whole thing in there.
Well, I only wanted you to add that part. This whole situation we have in this country, we wonder why education's in the damn mess it's in. It's because of this kind of crap, so-called future leadership.
Caller, we're going to put you on to arbitrate our disagreement.
There you go.
Welcome to 1490. Caller, you're on the air live.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was wondering, with the very interesting topics of discussion that you began your show with, I was wondering, do you want to discuss Hillary Clinton and yesterday? And
I'm going to get to that, Lawrence.
Well, I'm just curious, August.
Sure.
Why wouldn't that be something that you would have come
we
out of
We just didn't
box?
Get there, Lawrence. Why,
oh, okay.
Let's stay on topic.
Why don't we talk about when August last spoke about this, that he was in August.
Well, I tell you what.
Guest speaker.
I tell you what, Lawrence.
Saying how that disqualifies Hillary.
Lawrence, when Lawrence, when we get on that topic, give us a call back, and we'll love to hear from you on that topic. We'll disagree on that too.
We're actually going to lead to that,
yeah.
Lawrence.
So thank you very much. When you're willing to call and add to our conversation in a constructive way, we'll gladly listen to you. So thank you very much. Anyway, we were talking about a fraternity.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out quickly for Lawrence's edification. Did she do the deleting, or is she the deleter of all, or is this just more nonsense from the conservatives?
Well, let's finish the fraternity
first. Fraternity thing, you know, some years ago, a friend of mine was going to be teaching at a university up north, and she asked me to sit in on the class, the two courses she was taking. And in one of the courses, I walked in, and this is a woman who was the teacher, the friend was a woman also, but the woman who was teaching the class is sitting on her desk. She had a skirt on. Now, a skirt is a skirt and shorts all in combination, but her rear end was sticking out, and she had her legs crossed, she definitely was flirting with the young guys in the front row. But the subject of drinking in the dormitories was coming up, and what a terrible thing. And, oh, the hand-wringing that was going on in the class and so forth. And after, I said, well, I'm just a guest here. I put my hand up like a student. And I said, but I just don't quite understand fraternities, sororities who consider themselves leaders of the various universities. This is a well-known school up north. And they praise themselves in their future of leadership. So I says, well, why don't you demonstrate the example that you claim? And the example of a fraternity is to have a sit-down dinner. You do that all the time. Why not limit your drinking to the sit-down dinner? That's beer and wine and no more. No hard alcohol, anything like that. So this one young black girl turns around and says, well, I like it the way it is, and I'm not going to change anything. And so the attitude among the students and the dumbfounded look on the part of the flirting teacher was such that I decided we're really in trouble. We really are. And now we see a busload of people, two of which they had been able to identify. All the busload was singing. They were all celebrating, including the house mother, woman of 50 or more years of age. And they were just having a ball talking about Strange Fruit, the song that was sung by Billie Holiday, which is so poignant, and which means Strange Fruit was lynching, and up to 4,000 lynchings that we've got recorded in history were going on at the time.
The despicable words to this, right. Which aren't always heard in the TV reviews of this, are hanging from the tree, they'll not be part of SAE.
And the word nigger is used throughout.
Yeah, and absolutely. Almost everybody who's heard it, including the both of us here, absolutely condemn the words and usage of that. But I've got to say and acknowledge that the president of the university immediately, within the day, removed the letters, removed the fraternity, and suspended the people. They're out of the school. There was absolutely no toleration of this. It's going to happen in every society. You're going to have these absolutely... dregs of society who want to bring up racism, who want to hate whether it's whites or hate blacks or hate Jews or hate Hispanics. It's going to happen. And I praise the president of the university who took immediate action and removed these students.
Former Congressman Mr. Boren.
Removed these students from the university.
Yeah. Well, you know, Floyd, the problem we have, or one of the many, to say the problem we have, now we've got it solved, or we know how to solve it, is that the public doesn't want to look at these things. We have replete evidence of shootings of young blacks unarmed, and every excuse is provided the officers. The prosecutions come in a grand jury. Everything's expunged. Time and time again, we had another one in Wisconsin just recently, unarmed. But the police chief in Wisconsin said, we are upset. The society is upset. We're going to bring an independent investigation in that particular shooting. So we have a society here that has got to look at its social problems. We're in the desert of social dysfunction. And when you're in a desert, you don't know what direction you're really going. And if you continually suppress the idea of what's happening in front of your believing lion eyes, like the killing of Mr. Garner in New York, who they then proceeded to expunge as well in terms of criminal thing in a serious way.
And that was the most egregious of all the deaths that have happened. If I got to say, here is a guy who's selling loose cigarettes. He's put in a stranglehold. He says he can't breathe. And he's choked to death. The father, he was presenting no danger to anybody. Now, the other ones that were involved, they had attacked police officers. They had attacked, robbed a store.
Well,
they had pointed what looked like real guns, even though they were toy guns, to police officers.
Boy, you're in front.
But if a 12-year-old boy is as big as a police officer, a regular adult,
I saw the
pictures, and pointing what looks like a gun at somebody, it's frightening. It's scary.
Well, but Floyd, let's slow down a bit. Two things are synonymous with Mr. Garner and the boy that was killed in Cleveland. The boy that was killed in Cleveland was left dying for a long stretch.
Mr. Who was it in Ferguson, left dying, bleeding to death. No help came for 4 hours for him. No covering of his body. No concern for the effect of what they had done. The officers don't give a damn in these situations, and it ain't a few rotten apples. It's enough bad apples that the other apples are looking and saying, I'm not really contaminated, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's called a thin blue line. And Mr. Garner pleaded for his life, was killed, was left to die, much like the boy in Cleveland. This is the pattern in Ferguson's similar situation. Though the attitude goes beyond, well, he may have provoked this or he may have provoked that, and sure. But the willing recklessness of killing going on by police who are not really either competent socially to care about a total society or the leaders around them and over them. So, Floyd, I just think that one of the things about this show is going to the edge. You know, when Lawrence comes up with a phone call citing the deleting of messages by Hillary Clinton, and that rarely, facetiously, rarely brought about argument, then you've got a problem. As society, you use superficiality as an important message to the community and to the country. I think you got a real big problem. But there's other things here. The great failure of an economy is such that you see Krugman talking about that, and I'll come to that. We have a caller coming in.
Okay.
Right now.
Hey, caller, we'll put you right on the air. Welcome to 1490 AM. Caller, you're live.
Yeah, good morning, Augie and Floyd. This is John from Sarasota. I just wanted to quickly chime in on this subject, what you're talking about, because one of the things you're leaving out in the conversation, which is so important, is when you connect what happened on that bus with these young folks, and by the way, they said, these fraternity guys on the bus, said they were taught this song. So this thing is not an isolated event. You know, their former brothers in the fraternity taught them this song, so it's apparently some kind of tradition. You connect that knowledge with the emails coming out of the Ferguson Police Department, and remember, the emails coming out of the Ferguson Police Department that talk about President Obama, he's not going to keep the job for 4 years, because, you know, black men, you know, never keep a job that long, you know, really incredible racist portrayals of Michelle Obama, you know, other foul racist things about black women giving birth, et cetera, et cetera. They came from the captain and the sergeant and the clerk of the court. Not the rank and the file, but the leadership of that. So you peel back this skin. It just pisses me off. You peel back this skin in this country, and you can't believe that this is isolated just in Ferguson and just on that bus. And, you know, I think there are data points that reveal just below the surface. There's a lot of racial stuff, and it comes out. You know, Obama doesn't love this country. Obama doesn't believe in exceptionalism. You know, Donald Trump, you know, for years waving this flag about he's a Kenyan. You know, he got a birth certificate. Dinesh D'Souza making a fortune off this nonsense. So this stuff is right below the surface, you know, and even your caller from St. Petersburg, for years, he doesn't say President Obama, he says President Hussein. He emphasizes the Hussein.
You're referring to Don from Largo, yeah.
No, Little Dog was, I'm talking about Lawrence.
Yeah. Oh, Lawrence, and, too, yeah.
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 And again, and you hear that on the right, he always emphasizes Hussein.
I know.
Little Dog whistle there, too.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. The Ferguson thing, I guess the part that gets me the most is manner of walking. They were arresting a lot of black men for their manner of walking. So, pardon? That's one of the reasons they were putting blacks into jail or fining them as a way of making revenue. Manner of walking. And that's part of what the federal investigation turned up in Ferguson afterwards.
But what blows my mind is if you connect that data, the percentages of people arrested, the percentages of African Americans arrested, you connect that with those emails And the emails don't come from rank-and-file police.
They come from leaders.
They come from the leadership of the department.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, I really appreciate your call. I can't tell you. And to make an equivalency of importance, and right now, all of the media right now is yapping about Hillary. All of the CNBC, NBC, you name it, CBS, ABC, and so on, Fox, all want to talk about the deleted or maybe the deleted stuff on Hillary.
I mean, there's some importance to that. We got to be honest, you know.
But to me,
I'm going to wait and see on this thing. You know, what's important to me? What's important to me is like 800,000 people in this state,
healthcare.
You know, are going to suffer and maybe die, you know, and not be able to see a doctor when the money's there. That's what's important to me. Another thing is, you know, the piddling wages. You know, I'm in my 60s. I can't take care of my mother anymore because she passed along. You know, there's no middle class wages out here. You know, the middle class has been squeezed for 30 years. Yes, is Hillary important? Yes, but what's more important is who we put on that Supreme Court, whether we get involved in a third world war because of this, you know, impulsive. Yeah, well, not ISIS, but Iran, you know.
If
these talks break down, and again, they have to, you know, we have to get verification on this stuff. But if these talks break down, it means war, and Iran is not Iraq. Iran is like the Soviet Union. It's a huge, huge. I mean,
72 million people.
Yeah, it'll make Iraq look like a Saturday night fight. Mm-hmm. And we have an element in our leadership that is pushing us towards a third world war. So yes, Hillary's important, but these two data points of these fraternity guys, upper middle class white fraternity guys, okay, at the University of Oklahoma, and you can't believe this is an isolated event.
No.
It was just caught. And then you connect it with these emails from Ferguson, from the captain and the sergeant and the clerk of the court.
You're really making a hell of a point, but you can't be, it's not isolated to Ferguson. So when you say that, are you saying, and I think you are, or what are you saying about other forces? If the Fed came in to review what states do not do regarding to their police, what would they find?
Well, I just think, you know, if you're going to be critically thinking about this, here you've got a upper middle class fraternity, young people at the University of Oklahoma. Then you've got a captain, a sergeant, and a clerk of the court in a small town in Missouri. Okay? I think that just indicates that right below the surface, you know, there's still a lot of racism. And again, I saved this, I got it right here in my hand, this Tampa Bay Times. From Sunday, September 28th, where in big bold letters it says, in the Tampa Bay Times, one of the most respected papers in the country, black people in Pinellas and Hillsborough counties are at least six times as likely to be arrested for marijuana possession as white people. Now, these are headlines. This is not an article.
But, John, we know white people don't use pot. We know that, don't we?
Except for Jeb Bush did admit to using pot.
I'm not going to tell if you don't tell. Went to college in my dormitory, when I went to college, everybody, you know, and if they would have paraded that small college that I went to, like they do these neighborhoods, 90% of the people would have been busted, you know, and it was pot and even worse than that. And this was across the country.
But what it speaks to, and what you're saying, and I really think is the problem, pot and the arrest for pot is an easy arrest, an easy effort at conviction, an easy incarceration, and so therefore we get this disproportionate thing that you were talking about, Floyd, of filling up jails. And in many cases, in many, many cases, the jails' beds are more important than the people, because the beds, if you have a contract to keep those beds full, it's from a private business that says, arrest them, fill the bed because we need the money to pay the contract.
And we have prisons for profit in Florida. John, we're going to take a break.
Of these prisons, right?
Yeah,
and
John,
again, another anecdotal story. How many
John, hang on. I want you to tell your story after our break. We've got to take our break.
Hang on,
I appreciate your call.
This is a great call.
We're going to take a break in a moment. And then we'll talk about prisons for profit, another story.
Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota, with Dr. Mark D'Amato. 4450 South Tamiami Trail, Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
And we are back at 1490, WWPR 1490. And, John, you are on the air. We're going to continue your conversation.
Well, I don't want to hog the time.
You want me to hog away for now. You've got, it's not how much, it's what you say. And I really believe you hit on some hellish good points. So keep on going here if you care to.
Well, it just has outraged me, some of the comments that have been made over, the last 6 years about our president, recently by Giuliani. He doesn't love America. He doesn't believe in exceptionalism. And if you go back, and I've seen so many clips where he talks about the exceptionalism, he says, if it wasn't for this great country, I wouldn't be president. And in the speech down in Selma, it was just one of the most beautiful speeches I've ever heard anybody give. He talked about nothing but the exceptionalism of this country,
John,
and love of this country. Yes.
I agree with you there, except that what happens, the Giulianis of the world say, well, he can talk good, but he's not capable, he's not competent, after all, he's really a Muslim. I mean, they come up with this nonsense that swallows.
It's just dog whistle stuff.
That's all it is. But they do it again and again and again. And so you have a situation that where it's going to be difficult for anyone. As long as we have a system of electing people that requires huge amounts of money to change the game. I mean, it is a game. And then to use the police spread throughout the country basically as a form of law enforcement, basically. I mean, this is... I think it's not exaggerating. When you're shooting people instead of lynching them directly, that has to be looked at in that context. I really believe that.
Permit me one final moment of pandering to the Morning Edge hosts in your show, Augie. Sure. Let me say, the other way about combating this is people like you who sponsor a radio show where you can have discussion like this. So thank you again for what you did, and if I could help, I would. But I'm, right now I'm struggling, and what I try to do is participate in a constructive way.
Well, your participation, John, is huge. So anything else is on top of that, it's wonderful.
Have a great week, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you,
John.
All right. Well, there you go. It's nice to have people, Pat, and I like Lawrence just the same. He finds these kernels of importance out there, and I don't even disagree with him. Obviously, the media agrees with him. He agrees with the liberal and the conservative media, who say the most important news today is Hillary.
Let's talk about Hillary and the emails, and then Lawrence can chime back in now that we're on that topic.
So that's the last half of the show right there.
If you're in a condo association, if you're in government, if you're in education, if you're a lawyer, your emails say these are private emails or they say these are public emails. We have in Florida the Sunshine Law. I've been the president of my homeowners association, and I was informed by our management company and everybody else saying, if you communicate in your condo association, in your homeowners association, through email, it becomes a public record. This has been going on for decades. It's part of American society. Now, email is relatively new in the history of the United States. But everybody knows everybody knows, with any kind of power or brains, that if you're in the public sector and you're doing public communication, if you believe in transparency, your emails are public record, whether you're in a school board or a homeowners association or the State Department. Now, Hillary did what was done by her predecessors in the Republican Bush administration. Colin Powell did the same basic thing, which unfortunately the media is ignoring, that Colin Powell did what Hillary is doing. But Hillary should have known better. Colin Powell at least had 10 years prior to that to use as an excuse. But in today's society, it's simply part of our law that we have to be transparent, and Hillary wasn't. I wish she was, but she wasn't. Okay, caller, you are live on the air at 1490. We're talking about Hillary Clinton and emails and transparency.
And what's on your mind?
Good morning. That was and is on my mind.
Okay,
do you think Hillary Clinton should relinquish the servers?
I think she should really release everything, because when she says the thing that I find questionable, she was concerned about her family's issues, marriage and the wedding and all of that sort of thing. Let it all out there, and supposedly that's what she's done. I don't know. Did she?
No. So you're not up to speed on that.
Probably.
The hard drives have they been destroyed? And should she give them to the government?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what if she does not? What if she does not?
Well, I think she will, Lawrence.
She said in her speech yesterday she will not.
Lawrence, I don't recall.
It hasn't all happened.
Oh, I don't think you don't recall it. That's a fact.
Okay.
You know what you guys,
Lawrence, I just shut you down. We're having a conversation here, and we're actually agreeing with your point.
We can't agree with you.
We're trying. We're trying to be
constructive
and explore something in a positive manner, and we'll gladly listen to you if you want to talk in a civil manner.
You want to inform us on something we're not informed on? We're open.
If we're missing something,
that's where liberals are. They're open.
So anyway, we're hoping you'll do the same thing and be open and listen, Lawrence. You've taught us a few things. Hopefully, as we share, we'll all progress. Okay, you're back on, Lawrence.
I'm saying to you that short speech yesterday, Hillary Clinton stated she will not provide the hard drives and gave a flimsy excuse. Did you watch Morning Joe today?
I certainly did, yes.
Okay. So you're up to speed, August, and to the dismay of Mika Brzezinski, you disagree, as well as your guest that you had on the other day.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, why is it that I disagree? Because I'm a questioning individual, and I like the right answers, being the one that we fully understand, and that's what's not happening here to some extent. How important this is only such that if it's the province of the government to have the hard drives, that's the province of the government to have them.
Why doesn't she just provide the hard drives?
Well, we'll find out. Lawrence, let's
get that. Well, why doesn't she?
Lawrence,
what does that say,
Lawrence,
Floyd?
Lawrence, let's give it a chance and see what's going to happen. This has come up just recently. She's
they've known it for the president and Hillary have known it for months,
but
years.
She has supplied over something like 50.
No, the hard drives. Floyd, stay on the subject. The hard drives.
I hear you, Lawrence. She has supplied about 50,000.
No. The
Lawrence,
hard drives, man.
Lawrence,
I'm telling you, she's lying.
Lawrence,
and you're supporting her.
Lawrence, I'm not.
You're in denial, Floyd.
Lawrence, I'm not supporting her.
He's doing it again.
For the past few sessions, I've actually been opposed to her actions in email. I began this conversation saying, whether you're a homeowners association or the Board of Education, having this public record is something that should be done. It has been done. It's a policy. That's not denial. I'm going to wait and see how it plays out. I believe Hillary Clinton made a mistake by using personal email for state government things, for the security of the United States, and also for the lack of transparency. Lawrence, I agree with that. The hard drives, I don't know enough about. I don't know all the details of the contents of the 50 or 80,000 emails.
Without making any excuses, if she did government business or personal business, and they're all converging one on the other, she said she shouldn't have had two two different phones.
And she said it was convenient to have just the one phone.
She did it out of convenience.
But I think it was wrong. But she did the same thing Colin Powell did. The same thing. And
but even that is not an excuse because, you know, what Colin should have been pounded for by the conservatives when he relied upon cartoons of what Saddam Hussein had for weaponry, which is what he was for. And he went before the United Nations with it. What a joke. And that,
they literally were cartoons.
His
evidence,
and there weren't even good ones.
His evidence of biological weapons was a cartoon, not done in Photoshop or Illustrator.
Right.
It was a rectangle with six circles and three circles in the bottom to represent wheels, and another rectangle represent the cab
this
of the
about
truck. They were three rectangles and three circles to say, this is the evidence that we have for that.
As an excuse to go
to a major war. A preemptive war.
Yeah.
But let's go back in topic.
Yeah, no.
Back to Hillary. So, Lawrence, I'm saying, and we'll put you up in a second, I'm saying I don't know about the hard drives, what she's going to do. What you're saying may or may not be true, Lawrence. I'm agreeing with you. I think what she did was a mistake. Is it impeachable? Should it remove her from the ability to run for president of the United States? That's a whole other story. But again, what she's done, I think, is a mistake, and it may cost her a lot. Lawrence, you're back on.
Would you give the same excuse if Dick Cheney or Rumsfeld were? You would not. You'd have a different perspective.
No, what perspective? We are not in fundamental. Basic disagreement with you.
We are agreeing with you, but you don't want to.
So you agree that she should supply the hard drive?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
Okay, and if she doesn't, what does that say?
We don't know what's going to happen.
Until she does.
Oh, okay, but if she does not.
Then I think a more serious question comes
think
up.
Okay, and so who's next on the list for your Democratic presidential candidate?
Well, there's a couple of people that are considering running.
Good. Who do you support at this time?
Who do I support at this time?
At this time, and there must be an echo.
Now, I took him back off again. Again, I'm not going to engage in this shouting match.
I know. You're
okay, Lawrence, I'm sorry.
Hold on one second. Lawrence, I don't like the way Chris Matthews talks over to people. I don't like the way Joe, Scarborough, talks over Roginski or whatever, or anyone, and yells them down. And I don't want to be talked over and yelled down either. I think it's impolite and it's stupid. So let's just regard the other person long enough to say what they have to say with courtesy. So I'm asking you, not going to plead with you, Lawrence, I'm asking you to be courteous and considerate as to the opinions that may not... You want an outcome before we're ready for the outcome? If Hillary drags her feet too long on the question of the hard drives and the other stuff... then maybe you have a point, and something more serious should be regarded. Jim Webb is someone I would consider. There's the independent. Who's the independent guy from the Northeast that's talking about running?
I don't know. But anyway, I like Gillibrand.
Well, Gillibrand's not running.
I know. I wish she would.
Well, the ultimate person would be
Elizabeth Warren as well.
That would be my first choice. Yeah.
Now, by the way, I'm on the morning edge. The reason I'm here is because I'm looking at our Congress and our government and our society, and I see these two factions that are elected by the fringes of the Democratic Party, the fringes of the Republican Party, and we have a crippled government. Our society is collapsing because of the fact that we have these radicals who want to shout and be ugly and not work and compromise. I would like to have and be one small voice on one small network that believes that Republicans and Democrats, that Americans... can work together. I am a registered Democrat, but I am an American first. My first loyalty is to my country. But I hear people call in here where their first loyalty is to their party. I don't believe that's American. I think that is un-American. To be a Republican first is un-American. To be a Democrat first is to be un-American. To have a consensus, to work together, to attempt to compromise is what will make us strong. We are a melting pot. We are a great nation of many parts. If we work together, we can accomplish anything. If we become enemies, and Lawrence, you're talking to us like we're just brats. We talk to you with respect. We ask the same for you. If you want to be constructive, be constructive. If you want to be negative, go to a different station and disrupt there. You're back on the air, Lawrence.
Floyd. you're attacking the messenger.
What messenger?
Me, I'm the messenger.
What messenger?
And you're not avoiding the message. By attacking the messenger, you don't have to address the message.
You got lectured to a minute ago, and you wanted to do the same thing back. I understand.
Well, but that's a fact.
We're just asking for civility.
You know, it's called an opinion.
We're asking for civility. We're asking for a thing. But thank you very much, Lance. What's on? Okay. So anyway,
that was his own medium.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I know.
So, but
that
yes, I absolutely.
By the way, folks, if you heard that music, it's very beautiful, and it demonstrates a civility that is hard to deal with. So,
yeah,
there you go.
But without doubt, Hillary's got herself a problem, and she's going to have to deal with what to do with those emails.
Well, the other thing right now, if she doesn't do some of the appropriate things, then she invites an attack from her opponents in the election, and the people can make that decision as well. So you've got a lot of opportunity here to, and then that's going to come up about Jeb, lots of stuff. This thing is going to be, this is called early mud throwing and see what will stick. You have people much like Lawrence who want to throw mud, and they don't give a damn about anything else. And they want to accuse
well,
and accuse.
He has a valid point.
He's not wrong about what needs to happen ultimately, and if it doesn't happen, he says, well, I think ultimately, then she's going to embarrass herself, she's going to lose credibility, and she could conceivably lose the election over this. And that's
without
not a
doubt.
Thing. And so that's the big payback. But one of the values, as was mentioned before, of a show to speak to issues is the willingness to interchange back and forth, not always on what we agree on, but what we disagree on, but agree to respect the opinions of others. I will concede when I don't know things, and I don't claim to know it all.
I don't know about the hard drives, what's going to happen with those.
But those without,
it's going to happen in the future. Yeah. We'll see. Give it a couple of days to play out.
But without dwelling on that, let me point out a few other things that are a problem is going on. I think 6 years ago, Paul Ryan has since become the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee and the GOP's leading voice on matters of economic matters. He had an op-ed published in the Times under the headline, 30 years later, a return to stagflation. He warned that the efforts of the Obama administration and the Federal Reserve to fight the effects of financial crisis would bring back the woes of the 1970s, with both inflation and unemployment being high. True, not all Republicans agreed with his assessment. Many asserted that we were heading for a Weimar-style hyperinflation instead. Now, anybody who knows what the Weimar government was, it was the government of Germany back in the 20s that was trying to pay off the debt of the Versailles Treaty to England and France from Germany, which drove
after World War I.
And that was an agreement. What happened in the Versailles Treaty, the Germans did not want to be invaded. They did not want to be, their military didn't want to be embarrassed, so they agreed under the terms of the Versailles Treaty that for that we will agree to the terms set about by France and England, which were repressive, were confiscatory, and destructive ultimately to any reasonable economy. In Germany having
very high war fines and payments to reparations for the war, so high that they basically bankrupted the German government,
sucking all the products out of Germany. So when the economy fell apart, there's a picture of two children standing next to the mark at that time was the currency of Germany, and they each had a stack as high as each 10-year-old kid was. That was equal, and each kid was holding a dollar. Those stacks were worth $1 per stack. Mm-hmm. So when you went to the store, and I had a relative who had a delicatessen in Germany, and they were taking bushel baskets of money for a piece of cheese, a piece of sausage, some milk, and which would be an entire week of work. That is happening right now in Venezuela. The same thing is happening, and in Russia, this hyperinflation.
It's an interesting topic. We learned from that history because what happened is the war reparations after World War I directly led to the social unrest that brought Hitler to power and led to the World War II. We learned from that history, and as a consequence, we had the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe, not to destroy Europe after the war.
And you know who helped design that plan? Not J. Edgar Hoover, but Herbert Hoover. And he's the guy that started the first WPA program, which was named after him, the Hoover Dam.
And we also rebuilt Japan, we rebuilt Germany, and today our enemies, because of our involvement rebuilding those nations, are now two of our strongest allies. And that's an interesting topic. Are we going to learn from the lessons of history?
Well, the point of what I was reading was, needless to say, these warnings proved totally wrong. The Russians were saying we were heading into the same dilemma as Weimar because of our debt, which most of which we owe to ourselves, actually.
And a lot to China, unfortunately.
No, the debt ratios, the maximum amount we owe to is 75% to ourselves. The rest is spread among the Europeans and China. China gets about 9% of our debt. It's not as high as people like to think. And so the fear of them calling the debt due and losing all the marketing that they've been giving us and so forth is stupid. But lots of things are stupid, so what do you do about that? Needless to say, these warnings proved totally wrong by the Republican Party in general. Soaring inflation never materialized. Job creation was sluggish, but more recently has accelerated dramatically. I think for 12 months or more, it's been 200,000 to 250 every damn month. So you don't have a job problem.
What's interesting, when Barack Obama took office, I heard Rush Limbaugh's and Hannity saying, and our stocks are going to plummet. He's done such a terrible thing. It's the worst could ever happen to our economy. Yet the stock market has almost doubled since Barack Obama's been there. Now they're saying it's because of Barack Obama, it's going to be a bubble. It's going to collapse no matter what he does. Even though he's doubled the stock market during his, not him, but during his term, they criticize him. There's just, you can't win because of their side. Augie?
Well, the situation is that we've really had a turnaround economy under a leader that's been suffering obstruction from the other party. I want to get rid of party primaries. I want to be able to vote for who I choose for and not worry about what party they're in. I want to be able to vote in all elections that are federal and controlled by the federal government. I want an open primary system. I'm sick of this silliness that argues for one party over another. I was a Republican at one time back in the I stopped being effectively a Republican back in the late 70s. The joke on America really was Ronald Rectum. He did, and his name spelled either way.
Now, Augie.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same kind of thing we hear from the other side.
Reagan was a Democrat at one point. He became a Republican when it was opportune. To me, what happened in Chicago in 1968 was the beginning of a hellish problem for the Democratic Party. But the Chicago politics and the Southern politics were one and the same, Floyd. The Dixiecrats were the racists, and probably the same could be said for Chicago and on the other side of it. The Dixiecrats became the Republican Party of today. And when I saw Strom Thurmond and Jesse Helms leaving the Democratic Party to become Republicans, I said, the spinning in the grave of Lincoln is happening as we watch. This is what we've got. And we come up with a guy who then cuts the revenue of the government that he doesn't know how to run because he doesn't know what else to do to gain popularity when the debt issue was not a factor.
But when you say something like Ronald Rectum, it's the same thing as hearing Hussein when they're talking about Obama.
Yeah, it is.
And if we're doing that, we're stooping to the level that we don't want to be. Caller, you're live on 1490 AM. You want to chime in our conversation here?
I don't think you pushed it. There you
Caller,
go.
You're live on 1490.
What about Robert T. Byrd?
Oh, Robert T. Byrd.
Oh, there were some wonderful people in the history.
Klansman.
Yes. Robert T. Byrd. Yes,
Democrat.
He was for a while, and then he denounced the Klan.
Democrat.
He denounced the Klan.
Was, is, always Democrat.
Well, that's what. No, that's not true.
Factual.
So and actually,
that would apply
factual.
To that would
Floyd.
That would
in
always
August.
That would apply.
Factual.
That would apply to Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond, wouldn't it?
You're a hypocrite.
And once again, if we agree, you can't do it. It's just not allowed to. Bird and Helms and Strom Thurmond, they were racist. They were, you know, they were the old Democratic Party, and they now represent part of the new Republican Party.
They are primarily the Republican
Party. Part of the new Republican Party.
It's the primary
and it's,
ingredient. Yeah. So Lawrence likes that. He likes that side of it.
But again, you can't agree with him because he wants to basically have confrontation. We're looking for cooperation.
He starts calling names and things like that.
Well, again, you did the same thing by your reference to Ronald Reagan.
Well, I guess I feel that the most destructive president in our history, and I was a Republican at the time, was Ronald Reagan.
Nah, we disagree with that. I would go to another guy who followed him. But anyway...
You mean George Bush?
Yeah. But that's Reagan...
That's interesting. I voted for George Bush in the primary of that year as a Republican. Why would you say that? That's interesting.
Well, under the Bush administration, we took on $1 trillion debt due to the Iraqi war. We developed this preemptive war idea of going to war against a nation that did not involve us in 9/11, even though he said that we did, even though every time he talked about Iraq, he would mention 9/11 two sentences later.
Wasn't that...
He destabilized... George Sr., I actually voted for.
Well, now, I'm not talking about George Jr. Yeah. The one who followed Reagan was George Sr.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I didn't say immediately.
Well, question to you is... You meant George Jr.
I'm a Democrat who liked the father, George Sr.
I'm not even disagreeing with that. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing what I'm saying, and I'm not saying I have to have it all. All I'm saying is that you have a situation where George, this father of Gee Whiz, actually called voodoo economics of Reagan, because that's why I voted for him in the primary in 1980. I voted for George Sr. And when that's why I didn't vote in that year. I didn't want to vote for Carter, who I thought was questionable. But we're going to run up
time. And here's Augie and Floyd disagreeing with each other again. But we've had an interesting show. We want to thank our callers, Lawrence, and thank our caller, John. We've looked at a number of different topics. We'll be back here on Friday at the Morning Edge.
I know.